Now, speaking of nationally and all that, I think one thing that I saw in here and elsewhere is that a baykeeper may be focused on just one part of the bay. That's all they have the capacity for.
Yeah. You know? And so we don't stake the whole Bay of Fundy, though we work on issues like fossil fuel transport and stuff. And I've gone to Nova Scotia to try and to meet with fishermen and stuff around tanker traffic and things that affect both sides of the bay. But I just know, like, a dump site in Nova Scotia, I just don't have capacity. I'll help people. I'll do my best to make sure they find someone who can help them. But it's like I've just had to we've had to stake our territory much smaller. And if there was ever someone who wanted to be the Upper Bay of Fundy baykeeper, I would yelp hooray and try to help them and hope we didn't commit too much for funding.
Because most of the pressure on this bay is on the west side, and from Rockland up to Searsport. Mm-hmm. And there's chronic problems like over in not Castine, that there's a Superfund site just below Castine, that next island peninsula that's there. I forget what it's called.
Right near Holbrook. Just past Holbrook, you mean, where the lead is?
Yeah. And however, Callahan Mine. But So one thing is that, apart from that, the two sides of the bay are so completely different. I mean, this side, Route 1, right there, and as I mentioned before, with Rockland and Camden combining their sewer departments, the Rockport coast is really under risk of heavy development.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, for us, it's similar. The Upper Bay of Fundy, you know, you might have heard of Fundy National Park or Hopewell Rocks and up towards Moncton and up into those really heavy tidal areas. It's a very different dynamic up there, and we're focused, you know, it's like we're focused in an area with a lot more sort of, there's fishing the whole range, but in where we are, there's a lot heavier shipping and aquaculture, and so we just focus there.
And you've got a lot going in on having to do with, like, tidal power.
Yeah.
Up in the Minas Passage.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing.
A little bit around Eastport, too.
And you've got a shad run.
Exactly.
That's really important.
Yeah.
That is likely to be, you know, affected one way or another.
Yeah.
By the river openings, you mean? Or by
tidal?
There's a shad run up Nova Scotia. They go up into the Minas Basin.
And they
then they come down through New Brunswick. So that's on your side.
Now, I wondered, I saw the Ocean Renewable something, or the company that makes those. It looks like a giant old-fashioned lawnmower.
No, that's not the Upper Bay.
No, that's the system that they're looking at between Eastport and Deer Island.
Oh, okay.
And OREC has got large, kind of like aircraft engines.
Yeah.
I mean, put one in Copper
props.
What?
They look like propellers, right?
They look like propellers in barrels.
Right,
inside of a large thing. And you know Mike Dadswell?
I know the name. I've never met him.
Right. He knows about how tidal turbines chop fish.
Yeah.
A lot about it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so, I mentioned that to say it's like you can set up a waterkeeper that's functional, right? You don't have to take on everything. I think it's better to be effective. And so it's like, it doesn't have to be Penobscot baykeeper. You don't necessarily need to be actively patrolling all the time the whole bay, right? Just like Fundy baykeeper is not cruising the whole shore, because frankly it'd be a waste of time. Because you know, we can figure out what's going on without burning that much fuel. And so, you know, so just keep that in mind, that if there's interest. And then there will be help if you're setting it up, if you're interested in going through this. I mean, your peer organizations, CASCO and us, are sort of either side of you, and both, also Coastal, will be dealing with very similar issues, would help. There'll be a staff person at the Alliance that will, like, people want more waterkeepers, and they want them to be effective. But, I mean, if it is helpful here.
I'm hoping, because it seems as though our bay is getting a lot of development projects, and everything from these, you know, junk, steel junk places to big tanks to the march of development along pristine areas and so on. And there are all these separate battles, mm-hmm. and it's hard to... And often what one group has learned can be very useful to another group, but they don't know them.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to have somebody who's coordinating with all these folks, but not a member of each of those groups. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's something you do, is you help these different organizations yeah. as needed. And
there's a lot of, like, tag team. There's a lot of sitting down with the Fishermen's Association and saying, you do this, we'll do this. Or getting a call being like, okay, if we could, like, a bit of media on this issue right now would help a lot. So my head pops up and I complain about something, and then there's some media on it, and then, you know, someone working the softer end, all of a sudden government's a little more receptive because it's just hit the public sphere. So there's lots of, so waterkeepers tend to be much more willing to do the advocacy, willing to be confrontational or willing to engage in respectful but appropriate conflict when people aren't playing ball. And a lot of organizations don't do that as much, and so, but that doesn't mean you're not working with those organizations. But, you know, that's often when there's sort of groups that are well connected. It's like, so we play that role a bit, right?
It's almost like good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
You know, you're the one who's going to frighten them a bit, mm-hmm. and it makes the other group seem so much more reasonable after all.
Yeah. So there's a bit.
Dredging issue.